Father Bill and I had originally scheduled my announcement for this weekend, and his will be a little bit later, but things changed for a few reasons. But he said to me, oh, you know what? That's going to work great. You can just say, Dear Pax Christi, I am ascending to Roseville. And I thought, that's pretty good. It might feel like it's actually infinite distance away because it is across that big old river. But I will be back, and please come visit me in Roseville. I'm really excited for Father Mike Byron coming here as well. He taught me in seminary for a class. And, you know, in seminary, you get a lot of homilies. You get a homily every day. And not everyone always stayed awake for them. But everyone always stayed awake for Father Byron's homilies. We were always interested, in eyes wide open, and ears open to hear what he had to say. So I'm looking forward to welcoming him to Pax Christi in due time. Today we have this great feast of the Ascension. And it's a bit of a mystery between Easter and Pentecost. What is the Ascension really about, and what's happening here? Well, think about this. As the apostles went out from Pentecost to preach that Christ had truly suffered for us, truly had risen for us, truly was the Savior, and if you believe in him, you will be forgiven of your sins and be saved. How many people said, oh, if he's alive, can I see him? Where is he? Where's he at? Where is this Messiah? Where is this Christ? The Ascension is so important because it was planned by God, and it's how God continues to manifest himself in the world. St. Luke tells us in the Acts of the Apostles, before the Ascension, that Jesus presented himself alive to his disciples by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. See, it looks very clear that this resurrection is not just a metaphorical resurrection. It's not just kind of carrying on the message of Jesus, even though he's dead. He truly appeared to Simon, the apostles, the disciples, hundreds of people at once, and proved over and over again that he is risen. They ate with him, they drank with him, they embraced him, they spoke with him. And this is what caused this explosion of faith in Christ in the early church, that so many people, with passionate conviction in their eyes, told their friends, told their neighbors, Jesus rose, and I saw him. But hey, if Jesus rose, why wouldn't God want him to stay on earth? I mean, Jesus did plenty of awesome stuff in his life, miracles, healings, proclaiming the good news to the poor. Why remove him from human sight? Three main reasons why the Ascension is part of the beauty of God's plan for us on earth. Number one, Christ ascended into heaven to unlock its gates for us. Christ ascended to the Father to unlock heaven for us. Only the one who descended from heaven is the one who can ascend to open up paradise to us who could not. By our own human nature, we cannot enter into the Father's house. It's only by the grace and merits of Christ, who brings our humanity into the infinite glory of God as he goes to the Father in a new way. And as the disciples watch the Lord ascend, as they see this heavenly glory, they themselves can hope that as Christ has gone before them into glory and perfect joy, so can we go. Because the Master said, wherever he goes, we're going to follow. So Christ ascended to give us hope that our life on this earth, temporary though it is moving to the kingdom of heaven, where he has unlocked the doors, and where even our bodies will be resurrected to perfect divine life. Secondly, Christ ascended into heaven to pray for us as our high priest. A priest is one who prays for God's people. The priest enters into the sanctuary, the temple, to pray for the people, to ask God's blessings upon the people. That's why I wear this chasuble. This represents all of you. I am literally carrying you symbolically, sacramentally, to the holy place. The book of Hebrews says that Christ is our high priest, that he lives forever and prays for us before the Father's throne. Listen to this. Hebrews 9 says, Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. He might appear before God on our behalf. And before that, in Hebrews 7, we hear how Christ prays for us even now. Because he remains forever, Christ has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. Right now, at this very second, Jesus Christ is praying for each and every one of you before the Father's throne. You were etched onto his heart when he was pierced with the lance. You were branded onto his soul when he gave his life for you. And perpetually, without end, Christ is before the majesty of God, interceding for you, requesting for the Father of lights to bless you, drawing down the mercy of God upon you, sending the Holy Spirit upon you. You ever have someone say to you, you know, I've been praying for you the last year that you would get through this, that you'd be healed, and I finally wanted to tell you that. Does it make you feel wonderful to have someone praying for you so intensely, secretly, and then they finally share it with you? Christ is praying for us, interceding for us as our high priest right now for everything that we need. That's who he is. Finally, Christ ascended into heaven so that he could be more present to the world. Let me say that again. Christ ascended that he might be more present to the world. The ascension is often seen mistakenly as Christ is like absent from the earth. And it's true, he does say that you will no longer see me in the flesh. But he's actually more present than ever by the power of the Holy Spirit. A single person can only be present at one place at one time. Jesus touched many, many thousands of lives in Palestine 2,000 years ago, but compared to the world's population, it was a tiny, tiny fraction. Only so many people could meet him, encounter him, receive from him. But once Christ is ascended and the power of the Holy Spirit fills his body, the church that you are, now Christ can fill every time and every place in a marvelous way. Christ abides in every disciple by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he lives and acts in us in the world. That's why Jesus says in John 14, he says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these because I am going to the Father. That's why at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, behold, I am with you always. I'm with you until the end of the age. And it's why in our gospel tonight from Mark, we hear that Jesus was taken up into heaven indeed, but they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. And in one way, it's almost like Jesus never left. You know, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Romans, they were hoping that the Jesus issue would be over. Like, okay, this guy's finally dead, he's buried, we're going to get over this whole big hullabaloo. And all of a sudden, people are still being healed. People are still rising up. People are still living a new life in freedom. Christ is being proclaimed and disturbing the normal fabric of society for good. You know, I wonder if some of the Roman police reports were like, we now doubt that Jesus actually died. We believe he's covertly working behind the scenes with his disciples. Like, the power of God is just shooting out of this early church because he is with us and more present to us than before. The paradox is this, that our human nature, our frail flesh and blood, is not an obstacle to Christ's grace coming into the world. Rather, your flesh and blood, your humanity, everything about you is the chosen vessel that God uses to bring the grace of Christ into the world. St. Leo the Great said that when Christ ascended, his power passed over into the sacraments. All seven sacraments are meant to bring us into deepest union with Jesus. He the head, and we the body. He ascended, and we hoping to ascend one day with him. Every sacrament, especially the Eucharist, is meant to make all of us in the church sacraments of Christ. Do you consider yourself to be a sacrament? Do you think of yourself, your person, your body, your life, as being one with Christ and radiating his love? That's who you are. You are the sacrament of Jesus. And you are Christ, and you are the anointed. And you are how he endures in this world until at the end of time, Christ is fully revealed. Christ the head who appears in glory, and we the children of God, fully revealed, the light and glory that's already in us. As we approach Pentecost next week, brothers and sisters, my challenge to you is to ask the Holy Spirit to show you in a new way this week, am I really Christ? Am I really a sacrament? Lord, how do you confirm in my life with signs the beautiful works of my hands? How do you go forth in my deeds and my words and how I look upon people, how I welcome my neighbor, how I go to work in the morning, how I take care of my family? Is this really you, Jesus? You will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I am with you always until the end of the world. You are sacraments. You are children of God. You are Christ.